Well, a 2-year-old from the first crop by Majestic Perfection sold for $250,000 at the OBS April sale last week. He is the nation's fourth leading freshman sales sire. At the 2-year-old auctions this year, Majestic Perfection stands for $10,000 live foal, and the stallions with slightly higher averages are standing for $35,000, $35,000, and $20,000. The demand has continued from 2013, when his yearlings sold for an average of over 6 times its stud fee. So did his weanlings. He is siring superb individuals that are giving every indication that they were runners. Bidders remember that for sheer speed, few were the equal of Majestic Perfection. He set a new track record for 6 furlongs in a brilliant 107-1, ran 108-1 to win Grade 1 stakes at Saratoga, ran in 108-1 at Churchill, 108-3 at Oaklawn, posted buyer speed figures of 117, 115. He was never defeated on a fast track. Majestic Perfection stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones stud, Airdrie stud. That stud fee again is $10,000, okay. Live foal. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie stallions are your key to profitability at the races and at the sales.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, and we are here as usual every Saturday morning at the Clocker Stand at the Thoroughbred Center on the Paris Lexington Road. And it's a beautiful day, busy day clocking. I think we've 70 some odd works. Susie was telling me over here just a few minutes ago. Said 70 yesterday. I think maybe more than 70 today.
34, 85.
Anyway, it's been a busy day. And it's been a pretty busy day for the horses that train out here. We've had a few winners. Marco Castaneda saddled one at Mountaineer. So did Tommy Mills. That was Jazz Sizzle. That horse is Jazz Sizzle. He is by Jazzle, and he's got all kinds of speed. And they shipped him down to Mountaineer and won a feature race with him the other day. He just got beaten nose in graded stakes up at Churchill, and he's knocking on the door. He's won pretty near $300,000 for Tommy now, so he's a little better than an empty stall. See, Eduardo Caramori saddled a winner this week. So did Travis Short, Tim Shue, and Chuck Peary. Chuck had Infliction win at Churchill Downs just the other day. And anyway, that's good for the training center. And speaking of that, big shindig going on out here this week. Today, I should say, over at the Thoroughbred Center at the main office over there, you can wager on the Kentucky Derby. And they've got two places where you can go. One of them you walk in for free. And they've got, as usual, general admission is free, and projection screens and television is going to broadcast the races. They got mutual clerks there, self-serve betting available for wagering. There's concessions and a cash bar, and once again, free parking as always. Then they have another section set off for $45. You can get a preferred seating, VIP access to a mutual clerk, or you can skip all the lines there. There's a buffet available from 12 until 3. And the food's great. There's a carving station, chicken cordon bluegrass, mini hot browns, Churchill pie. There's a complimentary mint julep. You don't want to drink too many of those. They give you a commemorative program. And this is sponsored by Red Brand, Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fences that use all around central Kentucky. Claiborne's used them for years and years and years. You know what I'm talking about. It's a great product. So go on over there, and for $45, you can eat all afternoon and just sit there and enjoy yourself and lose money on the Derby. That's what we're supposed to do when you're in the horse business. You're not supposed to win. You're supposed to support the industry. I do that pretty well. No, I'm a skinflint. I'm not much of a better, as a matter of fact. But anyway, that's today right now. Just go to the main office over there, and they've got directions where you go. So you have a bunch of fun. What are we going to do today? Well, the second hour, Don Combs is coming in. And Don's an old-timer like me. Not quite as old-timer as I am, but and we're going to spend the second hour together. We're going to bat around some old past Kentucky Derbies. And I talk about old times and memories and what we go back through some old derbies and think of, look at horses' names that ran in the derbies that maybe we've had some dealings with down through the years. And of course, Don Saddle, a 1970 Kentucky Derby winner, Dust Commander. I'll ask him a little bit about how he prepped that horse for the race and if he remembers any of the horses that that he beat that day. He won as far as you could throw a rock. I think he won by 6 lengths after winning the Bluegrass Stakes. So anyway, so Don's going to stop by. Michael Blown with old friends, I assume, is on the way. And let's see, we're going to get in touch with Steve Moody, probably doing the second in the first hour today, because he likes to watch the races and they start real early up there. So we're going to at Churchill today. So of course, Steve is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. That's published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. And he's going to give us his Kentucky Derby selections today. Jackie is not here today. Jackie had a little surgery on a knee, and nothing real serious. It was a ligament in the knee that they had to shape up a little bit. And but about a 20-minute outpatient operation, but she was in a lot of pain last night. And so was taking pain medicine and everything. She was flying pretty high last time I saw her, so we will see. I hope she's doing well. Jackie, if you're listening, honey, I hope you're feeling better. And I love you. And what else we're going to do? We got some announcements. I've got a few announcements, and Jackie usually does, so I'll tell you what, I'll just do those now and get that out of the way before Michael gets here. And once again, wagering today on the Kentucky Derby over at the Thoroughbred Center, and for $45 over there, they've really got it set up nice, and it's you can go in there, and like I say, there's a buffet and a free drink and a free program, and go ahead, have some fun. And, you know, even it gets crowded on Derby Day out of Keeneland, believe it or not. So go on over there and have some fun today. Throw 20 on the ground for me, would you? The High Hope Steeplechase is going to be Sunday, May the 18th. That's the week after the day after the Preakness, I'm pretty sure. Over to Kentucky Horse Park. You know, they didn't have it last year, but they came back with it this year. Gates open at 11, and post time for the first race is at 1 o'clock. So keep that in mind, and it will be a it's always a fun thing over there. Jackie used to do some of the parking over there for him, but she hadn't done that in quite a while now. And let's see, what else are we doing? The Valley High Show Stable is having a Hunter Equitation Show tomorrow. Entry fees are $12. Of course, that's Josh Brinsfield's organization, Valley High Show Stable, and it's out on Pinkard Pike down in Versailles. It's 320 Pinkard Pike over in Versailles, Kentucky. And they're also having a few Western classes at the end of the day, as well as a field hunter classes. So go on down and have some fun at that. And let's see, there's going to be a driving clinic with a gentleman named Bob Giles. Do you know him, Susie? Bob Giles? You don't know him?
No.
Well, if you don't know him, I don't know him, that's for sure. Anyway, Sunday, May the 11th, starting at 8 o'clock at the Summer Hill Training Center down at Dry Ridge, Kentucky, at $10 a person, $60 per session, includes stall for the day and light lunch, and auditors, $10 per person, 10 sessions available. So go on down there. For more information about that, get in touch with Joyce Caudill at Summer Hill Training Center. Let me give you a phone number, 859 number, 760-8505. So if you are interested in driving, there you go. Also, the Thoroughbred Horse Show, and this is for Thoroughbreds at the Kentucky Horse Park tomorrow. And of course, it's the benefit rerun and canter. And it's nothing but Thoroughbreds out there, and it's wonderful organization and different kind of classes, you know, for Thoroughbreds. And going out to the Kentucky Horse Park tomorrow for that. It's a spring show, and for a good cause. It benefits a couple of wonderful organizations like Rerun and Canter. Once again, Thoroughbred Centers today. And let's see, Jackie always likes to plug the Election Computer Clinic over in Hamburg Place in the Myers Building. They keep us straight over there. Very reasonable rates, 263-7374. You walk in there and look to your right, and there you are. Sally Vann's been oversold. Get in touch, get in touch with him if you want to work on your vans or your trucks, diesel trucks and so forth, over at Sally Vann Service. So that should be a good. All right, that's I abbreviated the announcements. So, Jackie, you're out of the way now. And when we're going to get to him? Going to do that right now? Okay, good. We're going to have Steve Moody on to give us the Derby winner, and then we're going to have Michael on to have us a Derby winner. Well, last week at OBS, April sale, a two-year-old colt, Horace Greeley, sold for $260,000. Horsemen are becoming aware that Horace Greeley is sired runners. Horace Greeley has sired graded stakes winners in each of his first two crops. His Go Greeley won the Servant Award as champion two-year-old colt in Canada last year. He's placed in stakes already in 2014, I should say. He has earned nearly $400,000 to date, and clearly now has won the Grade 3 Bull Ruler Stakes at Belmont, the Grade 3 Swale Stakes at Gulfstream, placed in seven more stakes, five graded, including the Grade 1 Carter Handicap this year. Earned over $573,000. Really, Mr. Greeley won the Grade 3 Hollywood Preview Stakes. Scotland is placed in two stakes this year, the Grade 3 Withers and the Grade 2 Jerome, both at Aqueduct. Horace Greeley won the Grade 2. It's now Grade 1, of course, Del Mar Futurity. He, and he is by Mr. Greeley, a successful son of Gone West. So he's by Spitestown. Gone West is the sire of also Spitestown and elusive quality, so that's a great sire line. Horace Greeley stands at Claiborne Farm for $2,500, doing the full stands and nurses. And if you look long and hard to find his equal standing for such a reasonable price. And don't forget that $260,000 OBS two-year-old for a $2,500 stud fee. Now, that's how you make a profit. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibonfarm.com.
Sally Vann Service has been in business for more than 60 years. Depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Vann Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vann's has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, you know, the Clay Ward Agency over in Paris has been insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds for over 8 decades. 8 decades. That's a long time. I know my dad was doing business with them way back in the 1940s. And I tell you what, it's, the founder, Mr. James Clay Ward, of course, he's gone now. But the traditions that he established, hard work, service, and thorough knowledge of the horse business being carried on today by Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess. Great organization to do business with if you want to insure your horses. They get you the, they know exactly what you need and what you want and where to go. So if you're going to do it with professionals, they are the ultimate in that. And the number over there for the Clay Ward Agency is 859-987-1861. Now, of course, they're closely affiliated with Indian Creek Farm. Also over in Bourbon County, they've got a tradition at Indian Creek, too, and a tradition for raising runners and selling top-quality bloodstock at major sales. The list of high-class stakes winners that they have raised and sold, six champions, as a matter of fact, at Indian Creek is long, and it just keeps right on growing. So great place to board your horses. Give them a call over there. It's called Shaq Parrish or Nicky Dron. And number over there is 859-987-7443. See the website at IndianCreekKY.com. That's the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. And that's two organizations that you should, if you don't know about them now, well, you should. The Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. All righty. Well, everybody's showing up at once here. Michael Blowen.
Ursel, how are you?
Matt Howard and Dutcher Howard.
I'm trying to beat Mike here, but I didn't.
Yeah. Well, Steve, we're going to get a winner here. I know you guys were going to come in here to pick winners, but we're going to go to the ultimate source of winners here, and that's Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicap.
We have to talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, so shut up so I can talk to him.
Yes, sir.
All right. Steve, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Ursula.
How'd you like that introduction?
That's quite something to live up to.
So is, okay. Well, who do you like in the Derby?
Well, Ursula, I've sort of stewed around for the last 2 weeks trying to make up my mind, and finally did around Tuesday morning. But I'm gonna be a contrarian like usual, and take me a big price in here. I'm gonna take the 12 horse Dance with Fate, the Bluegrass winner. And I figured how ironic would it be that Keeneland gets rid of the poly track so they can make the Bluegrass more relevant.
You had to point that out, didn't you?
To the Triple Crown. And then the last Bluegrass winner on the poly track wins the Roses. How about that?
That would be a little on the ironic side, wouldn't it? shame on you, Steve.
Well, you know, Ursula, I was... for the last probably 10 days, I kind of was going back and forth between Danza and Intense Holiday. Those were the two, I think when we talked last week, that,
yeah,
you know, I was kind of back and forth between them. And I just, you know, both of them had looked really good. Danza, of course, had the big win in the Arkansas Derby, and Intense Holiday had run second in the Louisiana Derby, but he trained so well at Churchill, everybody had been raving about the way he looked. But then I saw Dance with Fate's last work out at Santa Anita, where he worked 47 and flat and on the dirt there, and everybody raved about how he looked. And you know, when he got back to Churchill all week this week Pursuit of the Crown show, whatever it was, on HRTV, everybody's talked about how good this horse has looked and how he's getting over the track well and his gallops and seems really like Churchill. And, you know, I just, the more I thought about it, I just thought, you know, he's got the right running style. It's going to be a lot of pace in the Derby this year, like it normally is. And, I just really like the way this horse, you know, he made that huge move into Bluegrass. He's got that, I just think he could, he's got his pedigree of why it's not, the first generation is not, you know, doesn't leap off the page at you. He's got some, when you go back, he's got some stamina there and, got a good closing kick and that, it's not like he's never done anything on dirt. I mean, he ran okay, his first dirt try, and our second one, he didn't run well in the Breeders' Cup, but, you know, everybody can have an off day. So, you know, he got a little play yesterday. He got bet down from 20 down to 14. And, Corey Nakatani is looking for his first Derby win. Why not get it today?
Well, everybody's trying to beat the favorite. That's what this is, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he might, you know, he's obviously, it's just, you know, if you look on paper, he sort of jumps out at you, but I'm a little bit concerned about him being, you know, down on the inside and with all the other speed around him. If he gets sucked into that early speed, or if he opts to take back a little bit and the whole field just, you know, sort of collapses over on him. You know, it's just tough to take 5-2 in a 19 horse field. That's just, you know, plain and simple.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
You know, if he wins, he wins, but he'll win without me. So I'm going to take Dance with Fate on top. I'm going to use Danza and Intense Holiday, and then I'm also going to use some of the horses on the outside here, Right on Curling, Wicked Strong, also to sort of clunk up for a huge price, just like you did last year, Dallas's horse. You know, last year it was Golden Soul, and I'm going with the Dallas horse again, Commanding Curve. And those are going to be my Derby horses. We're going to try to get We're going to get a little dance for dollars with dance for with fate.
You didn't mention the horse that I liked.
That's a good thing, Steve. You're on the right track.
All right, Steve.
What's the one you like, Ursel?
Well, I got to go for the chalk. I mean, I just every time I look at the PPs, you know. Well, I'm not. You know me. I don't bet anyway.
You ever see him take a dollar out of his pocket, Steve, under any circumstances?
Well, I know when he opens that wallet, it creaks.
Moths fly out. And, yeah. I don't know. I forget how I picked him now. Let me look and see. But I had to put him on top. But you know that old boy that used to gallop for swaps? I thought it would be a California thing, you know.
No, it's
made to make
story.
A great story.
It's a great story. There's no getting around that. I mean, you know, he came there with Swaps, rode on the rail car.
Yeah.
With Swaps when he came to the Derby, and he used to gallop him. And of course, he went over there to the museum the other day to Swaps' grave. So I mean, it can't get more of a sentimental story than that. And he could be the oldest, trainer if he wins today to win the Derby. So. I mean, there's a lot of, obviously, if he wins, there's a lot of positive there to it.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that that $7 mutual is not going to be me in the cashing line.
Yeah. I kind of like Wicked Strong off his wood. In fact,
yeah,
I like the 1-2 finishes in the wood. That Samrat is such a game horse. I thought, you know, if you're going to play the exotics, I'd have to put him in there. He's going to be 15-20-1, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And
I would think so.
Yeah. And I had Danza in there also. So, yeah. He'd been working down there like a really good.
Yeah. Like I said, he and Intense Holiday have probably been the number one and two in terms of their looks. And I think Dance with Fate's probably right there with them. I mean, like I said, every day that I watched the show when this horse came on the track, you got people that. Richard Migliori, who I think is a pretty good judge of the way these horses look and move, you know, he has commented every day how good Dance with Fate looks and how he's getting over the racetrack at Churchill. So, you know, that sort of prompted me to say, what the heck, let's swing for the fences here.
One thing worries me about the chalk is, of course, you can't train a horse to like that track, though. Either like it or don't, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's what the way that track is. And you know, ask Holy Bull and Skipaway, they didn't care much for it. And I guess that was the two horse races they ever ran, wasn't it, in the Derby?
Probably so. Well, Skipaway came back and ran in the Breeders' Cup there and, you know, was up the track again.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Yeah, I forgot. I was just thinking about the Derby. You'd remember all these things better than I do.
Well, the reason I remember that was because...
you bet on him.
a friend of mine that has unfortunately passed away earlier this year, that used to write for Newsday, Paul Moran. I remember talking with him at the Breeders' Cup that year, and I was playing the pick six, and he was too. And we got down to the last race, and I was actually leaving on my way out because UK was playing Mississippi State that night to football. So we left right before the classic, and I was telling him, I said, live in the pick six. He said he was, and I said, well, myself and my friend of mine were played together. We were live, and I said, well, who you got? He said, Skip Away, and I said, well, I've got Silver Charm, or Awesome Again, and Silver Charm, and Swain. And he said, no Skip Away. I said, I'm telling you, this horse, Skip Away, he was nowhere in the Derby on this track, and he'll be nowhere today.
Well, and, you can tell those tales when you're right.
That's true.
All right. That's the fun.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Steve, thank you so much. And good luck today, my friend.
All right. Same to you, Ursula.
Go get in front of that TV. Have fun.
Yeah, well, they're first race. Yeah. First race is 4 minutes. So.
Oh, well, I'm letting you go right in time. hear that bugle.
That's right.
All right, Steve. Well, that's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can go to brisnet.com and pick that up, BRISNET.com. Or if you probably get them out of Keeneland. Is that right, Steve? Pick them up.
Yeah, they'll be out there.
Yeah, and if you're going to Louisville, I don't know if they're down there or not, but you can certainly get them off the internet.
Or at the track or at the, any of the stores around that, you know, sell the form.
The celebration form. That's Kentucky Handicapper Sheets. Thanks, Steve. Good luck.
All right, Ursula.
All right. Well, last Saturday in Chicago, the $100,000 Pretty Jenny Stakes was won by Pistols Drawn, the 305th and the second crop of First Defense. Bred and owned by Aziel Stable, Pistols Drawn served notice last November that she was a filly with a bright future. Broke her maiden by 17 lengths. Fourth in stakes in her next start. She went into the six furlong Pretty Jenny off a 7 lengths win, going 1 mile and 70 yards. And she won the Pretty Jenny by over 6 lengths. Another 3-year-old from First Defensive Second Crop, Beach Hut, has placed in Santa Anita San Pedro stakes this year. Other promising runners by First Defense to keep an eye on are Ms. Sylvia A. Ms. Sylvia A won a top allowance race at Aqueduct on April 18th. She won that by nearly 9 lengths. Ab Seal broke his maiden just the other day on April the 21st, easily at over in England. Another good-looking horse. Then, of course, the sky's the limit for closed hatches. She's already won the Grade 1 Apple Blossom and the Grade 2 Azari Stakes this year. And the quality of mares covered by First Defense in the last couple of years, 117 of them just last year. Unbelievable. First Defense, Sire of the Future, stands for 15,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. And see the website at judmont.com. Well, when we moved down to Paris about, how long ago, 25, 26 years ago? And people, we wondered who to take out. We like to do business with local people, and people down there all recommended the Hopewell Company. And that's been 27, 28 years ago. We've been taking care of them. They've been taking care of us, I said, ever since. And this is a company that has extensive experience working with horse farms and racing stables. With us, they cover our farm, our barn, and all of our vehicles. Including our tractor, our trailer. We carry liability insurance with them, and they've been there whenever we needed them right there. Our house was struck by lightning a couple of years ago, and cost $25,000 to repair it, and we had to come up with $500. But the best thing about it was they brought the right people in there to do it. The adjusters were there, and their electricians that they hired did a superb job, and they know who to call and who to contact. And they do business with sound, reputable insurers. So they're prepared to provide you with a no-cost obligation review of your insurance. So give them a call down at Paris. I'll give you a Lexington number, 254-2431. I'll guarantee they'll give you great service. And if you want to visit them down there, go to the Hopewell Company on 820 on South Main Street in Gay Paris. Well, Drossel Myers, the leading money winner among the 120 stakes winners side by Distorted Humor, retired with earnings of almost $3,800,000. And to accumulate such earnings, you've got to face many of the best horses in training. He did. Met and defeated the likes of Game On Dude and Donner and Serve and Flat Out, Hopper de Gras, Uncle Moe, Stay Thirsty, Ruler on Ice, First Dude. That's just to mention a few of them. Drossel Myers won two of the nation's most coveted stakes, the Grade 1 Belmont and the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Champion sire Distorted Humor has sired the winners all three Triple Crown races, and by siring runners like Drossel Myers, his stud fee has climbed to a well-deserved $100,000. Out of a multiple Grade 1 stakes win of over $732,000, families loaded with black type, Drossel Myers stands for $15,000. You don't have to pay it until the foal stands and nurses. Bred to over 250 mares in his first two seasons at stud and first foals of yearlings. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, and we will, here's the website. Okay, windstarfarm.com. All All righty. I got Michael Moen and Matt Howard here with us, and they're going to give us the Derby winners first off. Matt, I don't know if you have to leave or not, so we're going
to
get
Yeah, I got to leave. We got to get cleaned up to go to Keeneland with the owners, so I actually got to go take, you know, shave a little bit.
You bring them over? Shave a little bit. Yeah. I thought you were going to play Santa Claus. Well, who do you like?
Well, I sat down and I went through it, and I'm going a little off, but I like the 8 horse, which is General A-Rod. I just like how it is, and I think he can handle the distance. And well, luckily, we have Joel up on him, and Joel just helped us break our 4-year-old maiden, the one that we had laid off for the 3. He rode Princess Mariah for us, so that's good for me. And, of course, you got to throw California Chrome in there. I just like everything about the horse, and then he's got the great backstory on everything from when people said that they shouldn't even bought that mare, so it's good. And I'm throwing in the 20, which is Wicked Strong.
Yeah.
And then I got to throw in Metal Count, number 14, because my wife helped make that baby over at Stone Street, so if I didn't throw that one in, I might be in trouble.
Well, now there's a couple of bias picks right there.
I just set Dutcher up in my lap. And I let him look at him, and he went by Silks Alone, and he picked a 3 horse, Uncle Cy, because of the Purple Heart.
So, oh, there you go.
So that's going to be Dutcher's bet. And, of course, Dutcher and Gage have actually won at our Derby party every year the last 3 years. So they just keep adding to their college fund. So if they can pay for their own college, I'm golden.
I understand 10% of the profits of that horse makes go to Wounded Warrior.
Exactly, with Uncle Cy. So yeah. I will definitely put money now on him for Dutcher's college fund. So.
Okay, well, I'm going to find out what Michael Blowen's bias is here in just a second. It's got to have something to do with old friends over there, I'm sure.
He's an excellent handicapper of people.
Yeah, there you go. It's either a big donor's horse, or there's something over there with a pedigree closely related to who he's going to pick.
Well, the horse who won the Oaks yesterday came out of a prize mare.
Out of a prize mare?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a prize mail. Of course, prize is over to a
course. Yeah. Funny you should mention that.
Yeah, how about that? Okay. Oh, you know, of course, one of my sponsors is Macaulay Feeds. The 1, 2, 3 finishes in the Kentucky Oaks were all raised on Macaulay products.
That's fabulous. They're great over there. They really are.
They are. Nice people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice,
Mike Warren and the whole gang.
Too. Great products. Well, who do you like, Michael?
You're right, Ursula. I have two horses I'm going to really be rooting for. The first one is Vickers in Trouble. If everybody's talking about Intense Holiday, and he's kind of like the wise guy pick now. He's, you know, looks good on the track and everything else. But, you know, Vickers in Trouble beat Intense Holiday in the Louisiana Derby.
Uh-huh.
Now, obviously, Rosie probably won't get that kind of speed. She probably won't get away alone on the lead again. But the great thing is, if she does win, Wild Turkey's doing this big thing for us. They donated 10,000 to Old Friends, and they have this program called Riding with Rosie, and every time they tweet, it's another dollar, and they've raised $10,000 there, and they said if she wins the Derby, they're going to double everything.
Wow.
So it means if Vickers in Trouble wins, we're going to get $20,000, a total of $40,000 for Wild Turkey. And then all week we've been working, of course, with Woodford Reserve, who's donating the money from the Julep Cup. So we feel like we've already won the race. I don't even have to bet anymore. But I do have a future book wager on California Chrome at like 40-1.
Oh, my goodness.
So I got a little lucky there. My other two aren't in the Derby, Cairo Prince and Strong Mandate, but California Chrome managed, so. If he wins, I won't be terribly disappointed, but I'm really rooting for Vickers in Trouble. And they all have great stories. As you point out, Uncle Cy's donating part of his money to the Wounded Warrior project. Rosie, as I said, has the Riding with Rosie thing with Vickers in Trouble. The Wicked Strong people are donating money to the victims of the Boston bombing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's really amazing how this whole thing about attaching horses to really deserving groups is really caught on.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be disappointed if Dance with Fate won because she's her part owner came to the farm. Her name is Dawn Mellon. She runs After the Finish Line out in California. Mm-hmm. She invited me to go to the Bluegrass to get my picture taken. If the horse won, of course, I didn't go, and I didn't get my picture taken. And there you go. So I wouldn't be unhappy if she was in the winner circle. I mean, you can make a case. I'm not going to be unhappy. As long as all these horses come back okay, I won't be unhappy, actually, if anybody wins. It's great.
Yeah. Do you ever figure out who he was betting on?
No, but I had Michael.
Well, he's going to put money across the board on all of them, and you'll be golden.
On my they're not taking the 10-cent superfecta, so I'm really out of my element. Yeah, it's a dollar superfecta. Take the 10-center. What's wrong with these people? You know how much money, you know, they won't do it because they think it's going to botch up the line. They should have one line or a couple of put together a couple of machines that only take 10 cents overs and put people off. But they should have the bet. They'd get so much more in the in the pool. But anyway, that's just the handicapper in me talking.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna key Intense Holiday because I think while Intense Holiday may not win, I think he can overcome some obstacles in order to get in the money. So he's my key horse in the exactas and in the trifectas.
Have you seen pictures of this California Chrome?
He is ugly as all get out, but man, he can run.
Oh, he's got a long back, hasn't he? Do you notice
that? I hope the owners don't hear me say that, but he is.
No, he looks terrible, and his breeding's terrible. There's nothing to like about him except that he's a phenomenal race horse, and he's overcome everything. Look, mind that bird one. Nobody gave him any chance either.
Well, that's true.
Just the whole backstory on the whole California Chrome. I know Ursula and I were talking about it earlier. You know, those partners were buying, I believe they were buying the mare in full with California Chrome. And there was some big trainer next to him said, only a dumb butt, but they didn't say butt, would buy that mare. And so that's why they came up with DAP Racing, Dumb Butt Partners. And so I'm glad they took it and just ran with it and are having fun with it.
Yeah.
And I wish them all the well. But like Mike was saying, all these racing stables are giving back to good causes, and I think that's a good thing, and hopefully we can get more of the public involved in horses, and that way it just keeps going like that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to end it on a good note, and I'm hoping. Well, now I'm going to hope for Uncle Si for Dutcher, but I've got my picks down, and I'm going to go get cleaned up and take my wife out, I guess.
What a guy! What a guy! Don't let that get around.
So, we'll see you guys later.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt. Hey, thanks for the hay, buddy, too.
Yeah,
Matt's always bringing hay over to our farm. I really appreciate it.
Free hay. How about that?
Hay wagon.
Yeah. I got it halfway there one day, and I couldn't get it any further. I had to bring it back.
Oh, is that right? Well, you got some shindigs going on tomorrow.
Oh, it's
going
to be great. We have the homecoming tomorrow, where it's our 10th anniversary homecoming party. And let people see the new fence next door, and got a lot of great auction items. You know, most of the farms are so great about donating halters to us this year. You know, we have a Wharf Run halter from Claiborne. We have a whole series of amazing halters. Coolmore donated three halters to us. I mean, it's just unbelievable how great people have been about this, and it's going to be a great, great party. My friend Tommy Walters is going to come over and do the barbecue again. Mm-hmm. West Six gave us the free beer. Steve Norman's band's going to come over and perform. It's going to be really, really nice.
They're good.
And then at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, later that day, they're doing a big party for us at Natasha's in downtown Lexington.
Oh,
so if anybody wants to come out after the Derby or tomorrow after getting over the Derby and sleeping most of the day, you want to come out that night at Natasha's. The Oldsmobile is a terrific band. They're going to perform, and they're going to do a fundraiser for us, so come out for that. I mean, this week's just been phenomenal. I got to go around the backside. I actually have credentials to go to the Derby, but I can't go. It's driving me nuts because I've never been, and I could have a really nice place to sit. But anyway, we spent a couple of days this week going around with Chris Morris, who's the fabulous master distiller at Woodford Reserve, and Woodford Reserve, of course, has given us the money from the Julep Cups, and we're working on some other things to partner with Woodford Reserve, and to just talking to the people on the various TV stations and all that. I got to tell one really quick story. When people come to the farm, I tell them a story about when Angie Dickinson, the actress, came and stayed with us for 3 days. And on the third day, before breakfast, I brought my little horse, Little Silver Charm, in the house and left him there.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, unfortunately, I'm not.
Who cleaned up after?
He doesn't. He only goes in his paddock. He's very neat. He's better than any cat or dog you've ever had. He's just unbelievable. So she
comes
down.
You don't leave him in there very long.
Well, I'm telling you. We used to go downtown Midway. He wouldn't go downtown Midway either. Wait till he got back. And some days we had to run pretty fast back to the yard, but he made it.
All right.
In any case, I leave him in the house, and about 20 minutes later, I get a call from Angie. And Angie says, Michael, there's a horse in your living room. And I said, no. I said, I know. He comes in every day, watches Al Roker do the weather, and then he goes back out. So Yesterday, I'm in the track kitchen. I'm talking to a friend of mine who's doing a tour, and he asked me to talk about Old Friends, which, you know, I'm always reluctant to do. So I was telling little stories, and then I told him that story. And just as I said, and the moment I said, and he comes in and to watch Al Roker do the weather, then he comes back out, Al Roker walked by.
Is that right? Yeah.
So I said, Al, remember this little horse? You watch you all the time. Al looks at me like I'm out of my mind. But, and the people thought that I paid Al to kind of like walk by, but we didn't. It's one of the great little silver charm coincidences.
Yeah, what time's your homecoming start tomorrow?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds like it's going to be fun.
Yeah, and then we're going to do a ribbon cutting at the other farm because Drawing Away Stables, David Jacobson, and all the people over at Bourbon Lane Stables are sponsoring paddocks for their horses.
That's great.
So we're going to do the ribbon cutting for both of those and put up the signs. And I just put up a sign for Dr. Byers. We got this fabulous street sign that Thorough Graphics made for us.
Oh, great!
It's called Byers Way. We put it up right next to the mailbox, and it's right next to the highway because that's what he always used to say. But it's always what we say about Doc, which is Byers Way. Or the highway.
Yeah.
So now people have a choice.
I got a couple more things I want to ask you, and then
I'll leave. Then you can leave.
No, I got to take a break. I'm going to get behind.
Yes, sir.
You don't want to get a little behind.
At your age, I don't want you to get behind anything.
Okay. All right. Well, to Sizzle from the first crop by Jazzle was shipped into Mountaineer last Sunday and blew away his field in the feature race. That was an allowance test going 5.5 furlongs on the dirt. Now, DeSizzle's been knocking on the door in stakes. He's finished second, three, beating the nose in the grade $300,000 Aristide stakes at Churchill, a track where he had won earlier, going 5 furlongs on the grass. Equally adept on dirt and our grass, DeSizzle has earned a tidy $284,829, and he's still going. Other runners from the first crop by Jazzle include Najjar, who in the last year of Keeneland Sycamore stakes and placed in the grade 3 Louisville Handicap, the American St. Ledger, and the Arlington Classic. He's earned over $237,000 now. Farhan, winner this year of the Stymie Handicap in New York, and last year of the Lord of the Night Stakes, also in Aqueduct. Comandante, a multiple group stakes winner in South America, plus 2 stakes winners in Europe. Dazzle, winner of the Classic Belmont Stakes, was scheduled to go to South America, but instead stayed in Kentucky at Shadwell Farm. So call Stallion Manager Kent Barnes to inquire about possible breeding incentives. Number over there is 859-224-4585, and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com. My friend and Michael Blowen's friend and Ralph Quillen has put together the nation's largest custom halter shop, and that is Quillen Leather and Tack down in Paris, Kentucky. If you want to go to a great tack shop, that's the place to go. If you're coming in from the Lexington area, go to straight downtown. Stay on Main Street and third stoplight and look on your left, and there is Quillen Leather and Tack. I've got to go over and buy a muzzle for a mare that Jackie used to fox hunt, and she's a hog. She's a pig. You have to muzzle her. She's going to kill herself.
We have to do that with Kiri's clown.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, some of them are that way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Afternoon delights, too, but he doesn't like the muzzle, so he just comes in half the time now.
Well, okay. Doesn't like the muzzle. Tough. This mare doesn't like it either, but she's going to live with it.
We're just servants. I just do what I'm told.
Okay. It's a great tack shop, and they're so great. Absolutely. It's fun to go in there and look around. Nice people in there to wait on you, and it's they've got a wonderful gift shop, and, of course, he's got his Rooster Brewery downtown now. I've been down there once, and then I got sick, and I had nothing to do with me being there, but but I got a bad cold and couldn't get rid of it, and I didn't want to go down there and give it to everybody, but I'm going back because they carry my brand down there. God, they got a list of about 200 beers.
Fabulous.
Unbelievable. And that's on Main Street in Paris, too. You just keep
and
going.
And he's got about 10 or 20 on the also eligible list.
Oh, has he now?
Yes.
Ralph's a great guy. Go if you can't meet him at the tack shop, go on down to Rooster Brews and have a beer with him, and he's a wonderful, wonderful, nice guy. Daily Racing Form Sunday Breeding Edition. John Sparkman's writing about Pepper Crown, who won the pedigree there. He's got an interesting pedigree. Won the San Francisco Mile out in Golden Gate. I think it was last Saturday he's going to write about him. And that breeding edition comes out about every day, as a matter of fact, but this happened to be the Sunday edition, the one that Michael steals all the time. but they publish, the weekend stakes recaps, sales calendars, the buyer speed sire profiles, and just broodmare of the week, and all kinds of things. So if you go to that website, it's drf.com/breeding, and you can go just about every day, and they've got something good in there. It's a daily racing form, because that is the Bible of racing, and it's a great paper. Used to work for it myself, but it's improved since I left.
It is great. I just love it.
Yeah, so pick it up.
Yep.
On the newsstands as we speak. What I was going to bring up, Michael, is the crowd at that thing at charity thing at Arthur Hancock.
Oh, and was that a great time? That's one of the greatest events I've ever been to.
I didn't know. Jack and I discussed this later. Says, you see, I wonder if Michael appreciated bluegrass music.
Are you kidding me? I was transfixed. It was so great on so many levels. The music was great. The camaraderie between the two Arthurs is just unbelievable. What you wouldn't give to have a relationship with your son and father the way they have it. It's just unbelievable.
It is.
It's so natural and it's so easy, and you can tell they have this genuine affection for each other, even though they really enjoy poking fun at one another. And it just added to the evening. And all the people there, everybody bringing potluck, and it was just such a wonderful atmosphere.
Never saw so much food in my life.
It was fabulous. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just
think they're going to try to do that every year.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, they should be appearing other places too, but I'm telling you, that was one of the greatest events I've ever been to, period. I mean, forget about charity, forget about blue, forget about any of that other stuff. I mean, just as an entertaining, enjoyable, touching evening. I mean, when I just started telling stories about Sunday Silence saving the farm and then singing the song, there was hardly a dry eye in the house.
It was unbelievable.
I mean, it was just and he's a great storyteller. He's a wonderful songwriter. You know, he told stories on himself about how he could have retorted, "Help me make it through the night," and
yeah,
he didn't.
He didn't. He said it's probably just as well. I'd been dead by now if I'd had a hit song.
Well, you know, it's funny that he should say that. I'll just tell this really brief story. Years ago, I thought I was going to be named best film critic in Boston. I thought for sure this was going to be my year, and I was very confident. I came back from Saratoga race course. I made money. It's the first time I ever made enough money at the racetrack to pay for the whole vacation. I had cash left over. I go to the newsstand, and my wife, of course, Diane White's a columnist. Mm-hmm. You know, every year she wins best columnist, and this was like the fifth year in a row she won. So they gave it to her again. Snow White, fifth year in a row, Snow White, and all the other columnists are just dwarfs, especially her husband, Dopey.
Yeah.
So instead of getting the best film critic thing, that's why we have little Dopeys all over our house. If anybody comes and visits, they'll know that that's where the Dopey came from. But anyway, so I decide I'm going to make this into a movie script about what happens when the husband and the wife are in the same profession, and the wife is lionized and very, very successful, and everybody treats the husband like dirt. So anyway, I write this script with a friend of mine named Chris, and we send it out. We worked on it for about 9 or 10 months, and we send it out to our agent, and about less than a week later, the agent calls. He says, "Are you sitting down?" I said, "Yeah, why?" He goes, "You're not going to believe this." He says, "Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman want to make your movie." I said, "You're kidding me." He goes, "No, I'm not." He goes, "They want to pay $1 million for it." I said, "Are you kidding?" So now I'm like, I don't even know, for me to be speechless or something. I was speechless. Anyway, so I'm going, "Wow, this is amazing." They might want to tweak it a little here, tweak it a little there. So anyway, we go on for a couple of weeks and, you know, working with them and everything. Everything's going really good. We're about ready to sign the papers. And we get a call from the agent. He goes, "Are you sitting down again?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, what they did is the last thing that they do before they give the green light to a movie is they check out what other movies that are in production." So they were making a movie then called Up Close and Personal with Robert Redford and Michelle Pfeiffer, and they thought there were too many similarities. So my script went from being worth $1 million and me being a screenwriter to being worth absolutely nothing.
Oh, my God.
Overnight. So I you know,
and this is the guy's trying to give us a winner.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I told Diane and I've talked about this a couple of times over the years and said, look, we never would end up in Kentucky. Never would have ended up with these horses. We would have probably gone to Hollywood and been really unhappy. You know, I mean,
yeah.
So, you know, worked out great. You never know.
You never know.
Life sometimes, Let me get philosophical for a moment. Are you listening, Dr. Byers? Just in case you're not listening, I'll tell you later. You know, but sometimes, you know, your biggest disappointments turn into, you know, blessings in disguise.
Yeah.
In fact, that was Blessings in Disguise is the name of Alec Guinness's autobiography.
Is it really?
Yeah.
No.
Because, you know, he made all these great movies and he was a great actor. And he got more money for doing Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars than all his other movies combined. Blessings in Disguise.
Oh, my goodness. All right. We got to take another break. He's sneaking up on an awesome patriot. Has an awesome pedigree. He's by the elite Sire Awesome again. He's out of Tis Amazing, a full sister to Tis now. Sire of the 2014 winner of the $500,000 Illinois Derby and of 11 Grade 1 Stakes winners, a champion two-year-old, two classic winners, five millionaires. Awesome Patriot is a full brother to the 2013 Preakness winner Oxbow. Not only that, the Fleet Grade 1 winner Paintner is by Awesome again, out of a full sister to Oxbow, an Awesome Patriot. And Oxbow is standing his first this season at stud, $20,000 for a live foal. Painter stands for $25,000. Awesome Patriot also standing his first season at stud, $3,500. And don't have to pay it until the foal stands and nurses, and he's eligible for Spendthrift's popular Share the Upside program. Now listen to this. To earn a lifetime breeding right, side a $100 one-time deposit, sign stands and nurses contracts for 2014 and 2015, breed your mare or mares each year, have a live foal each year, and pay the stud fee of $3,500, and you'll own a lifetime breeding right. A superb individual, he was a $350,000 sales yearling, Awesome Patriot, won stakes, placed in graded stakes. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Lubricin and Reborn, those are two products developed by Dr. Steve Alday, one of the nation's top vets. And endorsed by not only me, who doesn't mean anything when I endorse it, but it's endorsed by many owners, trainers, and veterinarians. And both, incidentally, are all natural and test-free, so we don't have to worry about going to the spit box with it. Lubricin, to put it so even I could understand it, sustains the integrity of the joint fluid. And it reduces the need for, you know, costly and sometimes painful acid injections. And trainers that use Lubricin on a regular basis include Todd Fletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendoffer and Mike Maker. That's just to mention a few of them. Lubricin, they also have it for humans. My wife uses it, incidentally. Jackie uses it all the time, and she swears by it. Now, Reborn is 100% sterile, whole, concentrated, natural bovine colostrum. It's safe, easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, and it's good to start it with foals. It strengthens the foal's immune system while nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. Actually, it supports immune functions in horses of all ages, and it's used, you know, on some of the top horses in the country. For instance, Charlie Lopresti uses it on with Wise Dan. And, boy, that's some kind of a super horse, isn't he? Anyway, they're both of them are great products. You can buy Lubricin for people over at Old Friends. For horses, I don't. Do you have it for horses over there too,
no.
Mike? No, just you.
But
just,
we can get it if people want to come by and order it. We'll get it for them because Steve and everybody and Kim and everybody at Dr. Alday. We had a great party at Dr. Alday's.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
well, yeah. Okay, with the Lubricin, KBC, and Horse Sense down for sales, you can buy both products. Go to Lubricin.com, Lubricin.com, or Reborn.com, Reborne.com. Two very fine products. Can't go wrong. Cowboy Cal ranks sixth among all freshman sires based in Kentucky with his first crop to race last year for Money One, ranked fourth for a number of winners. Three have earned black type, and that is noteworthy because Cowboy Cal, even though he won the Law of Fortuity as a two-year-old, came to his own at 3-4, winning five stakes, placing in seven more, earned over $1 million. 11 of those stakes were graded, four grade one, won a mile 133 the day he won the grade one Oak Tree Mile. Cowboy Cal stands for $5,000. You don't have to pay it until the foal stands and nurses. And he's by three times champion Sire Giants Causeway. Stands at Pin Oak Stud with the stallions Alternation, Broken Vow, and Sky Classic. Alternation is a multiple graded stakes winner, millionaire by Distorted Humor. He's standing his first season at stud, $7,500. Broken Vow, he's sired 59 stakes winners now, including the recent winner of the Grade 1 Ashland Stakes. He stands for $25,000. Sky Classic has also sired 59 stakes winners and over 100 stakes horses, $7,500. Fees payable when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries of Clifford Barry or Nancy Stevens. See the website at pinoakstud.com. Yeah, how'd I go down to Dr. Alday's place?
Oh, it was absolutely spectacular. Charlie the Presti came, and Todd Pletcher was there, and Rosie, of course, came, and it was really, really nice. Raised a lot of money for old friends. The people, Luberson and Reborn, have just gone way out of their way to help us. Yeah. Not only do they give us the product for our horses, which makes them look so good, they're also raising money for poor old friends. So it was unbelievable, and it was a really, really a lot of fun. Great music, and drinks and great auction items. Actually, Dr. Alday commissioned an artist to make a Gallopalooza horse out of for Rachel Alexander, and they auctioned her off. That's several thousand dollars. It was really, really great. So if people want to meet Dr. Alday and meet a lot of other really exciting people in the sport of racing, they're going to come to the party tomorrow with old friends. 2 o'clock. So,
oh, is Steve going to be there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, good.
We got that West 6 beer. The beer's free with a donation.
That is, if Jackie can let me go, I'll go.
Huh?
Jackie, had a knee operation yesterday.
I know she did.
Yeah.
How's she doing?
Well, she's not going to play soccer for a while.
Yeah.
But
that'll cut into her, that'll cut into her free time.
Yeah, well, she was in a lot of pain last night, but
they always tell you going in, this is no problem, we do it all the time, and then you come out with all the pain.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm chief cook and bottle washer now,
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, Dr. Alday, not only Dr. Alday and Dr. Waldridge, Dr. Byers, all these great vets are helping us. We just had a horse go over to Rude and Riddle, and he's getting released today or tomorrow, so...
Who was that?
Riddle's helping us. An old horse named Highland Act.
Okay.
Yep. So he's doing good. Dr. Morrissey took care of him over there. So, mm-hmm. It's just a wonderful team of everybody trying to get together and help these horses. We had tremendous amount of visitors this week. Overpowering number of buses coming. We had 3 buses trying to figure out how to negotiate the driveway yesterday.
Is that right?
Oh, my. It's like a one-way bridge with 3 buses.
I bet it was.
But anyway, they did a really nice job. And Premier Sports Travel did a great job and brought a lot of people to Ferdinand's Ball. I mean, it's really, really, it's been a fabulous week.
Yeah. Well, my friend.
Well, you got Mr. Combs here. I got a present for Mr. Combs.
You got a present for Don? What do you got for Don?
I got him a special pin.
What does the pin do?
It's a Dust Commander pin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, how about, let me see that. Nice. Let me see it. Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, yeah.
Got the silks and everything. Now he can.
Well, how about that?
Now he can wear it and people can ask him about it.
Kentucky Derby Museum.
Dust Commander 1970.
Well, that's great. Good. Don't have his picture on there.
Well, how much do you want for a pin? How much stuff can you put on a pin?
Don, don't you think you don't have your picture on there?
Get all I can get.
Okay. Here you go.
Well, so I'm gonna run back, see if I can get in any trouble over at the farm, help with the tours, and have everybody have a great Derby day. It's a perfect day in the bluegrass, and they got a lot of really fine horses running today, and they're running the older ones, the ones that aren't 3, are running around my farm. So
there you go. Okay.
Thanks, Ursula. Thank you, Don.
See you later.
See you. Thank you. There he is.
All righty. Let's see. It's the top of the hour already?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, Don's going to sit in with me for this second hour, and we're going to kick around some old times. I see he brought a book. I brought you a book to use over here, too. It's got some charts in it, old Derby charts all the way up to 1973. And then we'll have to go from memory from then on. You got a different book over there. I don't believe I've seen that one.
Have you ever seen this book?
Nah, I don't know. That's I don't have time to look at it now.
I'll just thump through it. It's got
breaks down
everything in there on every race.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Very nice. Okay, well, Point of Entry broke his maiden by 15 and a half lengths on the dirt at Belmont. Came back to win an allowance race at Gulfstream by 2 1/4 lengths. Then things warmed up. He won the Grade 1 Man of War, the Grade 1 Sword Dancer Invitational, the Grade 1 Joe Hurst Turf Classic Invitational, the Grade 2 Elkhorn, set a new course record at Keeneland, ran second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf. He wasn't through. Next year, he won the Grade 1 Woodford Reserve Manhattan and the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf Stakes and was retired with earnings $2,494,490. And he has a great pedigree. His sire, Dinah Farmer, is the sire of some 150 stakes winners and counting. His dam, A Daughter of Seeking Gold, is the dam also of Pine Island. winner of the Grade 1 Alabama, the Grade 1 Gazelle, and of $666,800. The second dam produced Pleasant Home, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Distaff, and of over $1,380,000. And Country Hideaway, a multiple graded stakes winner of over $762,000. She's also the dam of two graded stakes winners. The third dam won the Classic Alabama, produced Champion Sky Beauty, a Grade 1 winner of more than $1,336,000, and is out of a Champion Sprinter and Foundation Mare, Gold Beauty, a daughter of Mr. Prospect. Port of Entry is inner stud for $25,000. Due when the foal stands and nurses. He's got all the prerequisites for sire success, racing class, pedigree, and superb confirmation. Adena Springs, call them 859-987-1798 and see the website at adenastallions.com.
Live from the Republic Bank Studios, this is ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLXG AM Lexington, Republic Bank, with six banking centers in central Kentucky.
All righty, a two-year-old from the First Crop by Majestic Perfection sold for $250,000 at the OBS April sale last week. He is the nation's fourth leading freshman sale sire at the two-year-old auctions. Now, Majestic Perfection stands for $10,000, a live foal, and the stallions ranked above him stand for $35,000, $35,000, and $20,000. Now, the demand has continued from 2013 when his yearlings sold for an average of over six times his stud fee, so did his weanlings. He's signing superb individuals that are giving every indication that they're runners. Bidders remember that for sheer speed, few were the equal of Majestic Perfection, set a new track record for six furlongs, 107-1. Ran in 108-1 to win Grade 1 stakes at Saratoga and 108-1 at Churchill, 108-3 at Oak Palm, posted buyer speed figures of 117, 115, was never defeated on a fast track. Majestic Perfection stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud to the fee again, $10,000 live foal. See the website at airdreestud.com and remember that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Here's the list of these. And here's this. All righty. I guess you've got both mics on here now. I'm little Michael Bullen out there hugging everybody. What is this?
No telling.
We got everything turned up over here. Well, look at here. Got Holly coming in running things. Okay. All right. Well, Don, of course, training out here now. Been training for, God, I don't know how many years. He isn't quite as old as I am, but he's getting there. I hope you make it, Don.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. Don, get a little bit closer to that mic. You got his mic on there, haven't you? Yeah, he's got it. Okay. Of course, Don trained a Derby winner himself going back a few years. 1970, I believe it was, Don. And, of course, you're a member of a very exclusive club.
Very lucky to get there. It's hard to get there the way we did it. I mean, you know, we don't have – when you have a few horses and don't have any really expensive horses to be able to get there, you got to have a lot of luck.
Yeah. They bought that horse, didn't they?
They bought it out of sale. Actually, one of the old managers at Calumet was working for him, and he went to the sale with them, and they bought that, bought a bunch of horses as yearlings at the Keeneland Falls sale, mm-hmm. and he was one of them. They got a bunch of good horses out of that sale.
Who was the manager? Do you remember who it was?
Yeah, his
Paul Eberhardt, maybe? No, that would be after him.
I'll tell you just a minute. His son worked on the starting gates in a lot of places.
Oh, Puckett.
Puckett.
Yeah.
Exactly
Mr. Puckett.
Mr. Puckett was exactly who it was.
Yeah.
Don Plunkett. He was, you know, he was a heck of an athlete, and he was on the gate for a long time. I don't think he works on gates anymore, but he did for a long time.
Well, he'd be like us getting a long tooth right now, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he was on the fire department, and he came to the track and started working on the gates, and he did that for a long time. Good guy, really good guy.
What did they pay for Dust Commander?
$6,500.
Yeah. Now, was he a bowl commander?
Bowl commander.
Yeah. Son of bowl ruler.
One of the first bowl rulers to win a classic, you know. Yeah. One of the sons, he was a grandson, but one of the first ones that did.
Yeah.
Before secondary.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. I think he stood over at the Stallion Station, Bull Commander, didn't he?
Sure did.
Yeah.
Sure did.
But Lou Daugherty and Harold Snowden.
Harold Snowden was in the winner's picture, man. He was right down there.
Oh, he would be.
Yeah, he was right there. Harold was right there.
Yeah. Did he bring Bubba with him?
No, he was. He was, I don't know. He was by himself when he came down to the winner's circle.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to see him. I'd happy to see anybody down there.
Now, you've, you know, the way they do it now, Don, you know, some of these horses, they run in a Florida Derby or something, and they don't run for how many weeks after that, you know, 8 weeks or something. They give them a long gap in there. Yeah, you didn't exactly do that with your horse, did you?
Well, I don't understand that. I've never understood that theory. I think when a horse is good, he's doing well, you run him.
Yeah.
Run a horse when they're good, because a thousand things can go wrong. And that's the way I did. Now, he ran, you know, he won a lot. He ran three times at Keeneland. He ran the first time, I'd just get a race, short race in him, because we'd been off for a while. We came up early from Florida. Uh-huh. He had a bruised foot, and getting him over that, and we brought him up here to graze and just, you know, give him plenty of time. Then I ran him long, and he led all the way going to short. Then we ran him in the bluegrass, and then 10 days later we ran the Derby. Each one of them won by more impressive margins.
I saw him win the bluegrass. As a matter of fact, I saw him win the Derby.
He was in that old bad track, and he was down inside, and it just kept. He won it, you know. He won it pretty strong. I mean, he was going away at the end. You know, he was pulling away.
Yeah. Do you remember any of the horses that you beat? My Dad George, yeah. and High Echelon.
High Echelon came back and won the Belmont. The personality was in there. He came back and won the Preakness. Then his stablemate, High Echelon, won the Belmont.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the list of horses that were in there. The horse that ran, I remember when Higher Echelon was racing for Ethel Jacobs. Uh-huh. And when he went to the post that day, he was a gray horse. And he had his ankle painted with an iodine paint. Yep. And you could see.
Woody used to do it all the time. I mean, Woody would bring horses over. I used to see him. He had iodine paint all over horses.
It really stood out on a gray horse going to the post, you know. Yep. You'd think they'd put at least put some bandages on him or something, you know, right in.
But. No, it's the old timers. They do it different.
I remember that distinctly.
Yeah.
And I see that you do too.
Well, here's
the horse that ran fourth. Nascar went to stud and was a hell of a stud horse.
Yeah, he was a good solid horse. He bred really hard knocking horses.
Yeah, I think that Nasty and Bold was by him, was one of his, you know. And
there's High Echelon.
Right, yeah, he's got a pick.
My horse right there, way back there, going through the stretch the first time.
Yeah, going past the stands. Uh-huh. Yeah, you can see the he's got a color picture.
You can see
those yellow ankles on his gray horse going
sure
by.
Sure can.
That.
Sure.
Well, he didn't run all that good either, did he?
We finished third.
Well, he did. Yeah, but you beat him by. See, you win by five, so he got beat. The My Dad George was second. And then High Echelon was third. You beat him by 5.5 lengths. Then it was Nascar and Silent Screen, who went on to be a pretty nice horse too. Let's see who else was in there. Personality, of course. Native Royalty ended up over at Stud, over at Spencer.
He was a pretty hard knocking horse too.
Yeah.
He was a hard knock. He won some nice races. Yeah. He was a pretty nice horse.
It was a fair kind of a stud. Action Getter is back in there. He was a Citation. I remember him.
Was he? I didn't remember that.
You don't. Well, it's some of these old races. Oh, that's a race where Holy Land fell.
Holy Land fell, right.
At the top of the stretch, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Diane Crump rode in that race.
Is that first? Was she the first woman?
First one to run the Derby, ride the Derby. She rode that race.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch Rosie yesterday?
No, I was mowing.
I need to. You make me feel.
But grass, with that, all that rain this week, I had to do some mowing.
You're making me feel guilty in there. I got the whole damn farm needs mowing. But and I didn't get around to it. But it, you know, that's,
fell at the turn, up on the turn.
Yeah, on the turn. I remember that distinctly. It was laying way back there at the time.
Yeah.
And where Diane? Diane was on a horse named Fathom.
Yeah.
For W.L. Brown. And, but Rosie had an easy ride in the Oaks yesterday, didn't she?
That horse has got to be a very, very nice horse.
Yeah.
Very, very nice filly.
Going back a little bit further. This is going to be ahead of your time, though, but I saw Coaltown win the Bluegrass.
He was a fast horse, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. I've got the speed records here somewhere.
He was a fast horse. He was six length, had a six-length lead in the Derby. Oh, he was in front of a six in the Derby. Then, yeah. Of course, Citation caught him. But he was an awfully good horse. He was a nice horse.
He was Jet Pilot. That's why I brought that, because that was the first Derby I ever saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I went to see that one. But I did see Coltown. He had set all those records, went on, later on and become, he was a champion handicap horse and a champion sprinter the same year Coltown. Right, of course, right. He was like Citation.
They didn't breed anything, did he?
Nothing. No. Nothing.
The Citation didn't do very well either.
No, I guess Mr. Whitney's Silver Spoon was the best filly he ever sired.
Sure. Yeah.
And, he sired a Preakness winner. Wasn't Fabius?
Was Fabius? Fabius. Yeah, I guess Fabius was.
Then he sired a pretty good horse named Get Around. They won the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. And, he sired a few, but nothing like he's, a great horse like that. They just don't all make it.
Sometimes I think, of course, he ran a lot of races, ran very hard. I don't know if that affects him. I don't know. I don't know what that would have to do with it. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with it. I don't know.
I wouldn't think so.
But it shouldn't. I mean, they breed what they
are. They go look at Round Table, for crying out loud. How many races did that horse run?
He was a good sire.
Better than very good.
Yeah.
Very good sire. I think, wasn't he third in the Derby?
He was third in the Derby.
Yeah. Right. That was Iron Liege.
Iron Liege at Calumet.
Yeah.
Was it Calumet?
Yeah, that's when Willie Shoemaker stood up at the...
On Gallant Man.
On Gallant Man, And, the owner dreamed about that tonight.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, he did. I remember that, though.
Yeah.
I remember the Citation race really well. That's the first Derby I really remember. Really
do
well.
You?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I listened to it on the radio.
Oh.
I was listening on the radio. I was at a new bluegrass jersey farm out there on Georgetown Pike. And there's a bunch of us out there, and we were listening to it on the radio. Young kids.
It's funny how you remember where you are. Yeah. I was coming back from overseas. And I was a radioman in the service, and I tuned in. I picked up the Derby, and it was Swaps's Derby. Mm. And I was coming back from overseas, and it tore me up when I was California horse. Wanted. He was a great racehorse.
Though. Yeah, he was a heck of a horse. I remember another race that I remember when Dark Star won 1953. I was weeding tobacco beds, and we had a truck pulled over there and had the radio on the truck and listened to it on the radio, and I was weeding tobacco bed on Old Scott Farm out there on Rush Cave Road.
Dan Scott's place?
Yeah, they were Hughes's. Had Kenny Hughes, all the Hughes boys, we were all out there, and we were weeding tobacco beds.
Donald Hughes.
All of them. All of them were out there.
Yeah.
And we listened to it on the radio.
They all ended up in the horse business.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah, they all did.
Yeah. Dan, of course, has passed away now, but he was a nice fella. And, of course, Harry was just passed away.
Right.
His brother had a farm right next to him there, as a matter of fact. Let me take a break here, and we'll get back again. Well, a two-year-old from the first crop, Majestic. Well, I just did that. What do you want? Want water? Yeah, open the thing, and it's the one on the right. It's a brand new one. Said, yeah. Never touched by human hand or mouth, far as that goes. Well, last week at the OBS April sale, a two-year-old Quokka Horse Greeley sold for $260,000. Horsemen are becoming aware that Horse Greeley signed runners. Horse Greeley has sired graded stakes winners in each of his first two crops. His Gold Greeley won the Southern Award as a champion two-year-old Quokka in Canada last year, and he's placed in stakes already this year. He's earned nearly $400,000 to date. Clearly now has won the Grade 3 Bowl Ruler at Belmont and the Grade 3 Swale Stakes at Gulfstream and is placed in seven other stakes, five graded, including the Grade 1 Carter this year. He's earned over $573,000. Really, Mr. Greeley won the Grade 3 Hollywood Preview in Scotland, is placed in two stakes this year, the Grade 3 Withers and the Grade 2 Jerome, both those in New York. Horse Greeley won the Grade 2, now Grade 1, Del Mar Futurity. He is by Mr. Greeley, a successful son of Gone West, as is Sprightstown. and elusive quality. And three good sons have gone west there. Now, Horace Greeley stands at at Craven Farm for $2,500, payable when the foal stands and nurses. You're going to look long and hard to find his equal standing for such a reasonable price. And don't forget that that $260,000 OBS two-year-old, that's quite a profit on that stud fee. Inquire to Bernie Sams and see the website, ClavenFarm.com. You're looking for a horse farm or a farm of any kind or any property of any kind, far as that goes, I would recommend my friends Hill and Reagan Parker. They've specialized in horse farms, but they sell anything as a matter of as that goes. It's when it comes to real estate, they've been in the business over a dozen years now. Nice people to do business with. They work real hard for you. They work as a team. So you get two for the price of one. They've got a great website. I'll give it to you in a minute. They've got listings in Fayette and Bourbon and Jessamine County and Woodford and Scott, Clark, just a variety of locations and sizes and prices all over. And they can help you find just that perfect farm for you. They're just wonderful people to do business with. They've got great locations right now. Nice place over on Hawkins Cummins, which is 75 acres, which is a superb location over there. One on, on Ironworks Pike. Boy, that's a nice location for that one, too. Go to that website and look it over. The website, incidentally, is lexhorsefarms.com. Got a good place, a nice place on Harp Ennis. Smaller place. I think it's just 11 acres, but it's a really lovely place. And I think they've got an indoor arena there. I believe they do. You might call Hill or Reagan and ask them about it, especially if you're into show horses or something like that, jumps, hunters and jumpers. And their number, it's a Lexington number, it's 608-8039. I recommend that you go to their website and look over what they've got because they've got a great variety of offerings. Wonderful website. It's lexhorsefarms.com, and that's Hill and Reagan Parker, friends of mine, and I have no hesitation recommending them because they're just super people to do business with. Well, the great Tiz now, sired 49 stakes winners, most recent Dynamic Impact, winner of the Grade 3 $500,000 Illinois Derby. Now, Tiz now is number one winner of North American Graded Stakes is Tiz Deja Vu. Tiz Deja Vu won the Grade 2 American Derby, the Grade 2 Jefferson Cup, the Grade 2 Firecracker, the Grade 3 Crown Royal American Turf Stakes, the opening verse stakes, and placed in the Grade 1 Secretariat Stakes. He was a mile and a quarter course, and he led most of the way, earned right down to the wire. He's earned right at $700,000. Now, three of Tiz Deja Vu's Graded Stakes wins were at Churchill Downs, where he was virtually unbeatable. Brilliant miler. Catch me if you can. Exciting front runner with the ability to carry that speed 9, even 10 furlongs. His pedigree offers an outstanding outcross to Mr. Prospector and Stormcat Line Mares, and he stands for $5,000, doing a full stance of nurses at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. If you're not familiar with Crestwood Farm, you should be. They have a great reputation for customer service. It's a family-operated farm. They treat their clients like you would expect, just like family. Give them a call, 859-252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Talking to Don Combs, who was just brought up Citation, of course, trained by Ben Jones. And he was one of the all-time greats. He came back as a four-year-old. He didn't come back, as a matter of fact. You had to lay him out a whole year, and then he went back to California, and Neuer beat him four times in a row. I think he had set three world records or American records to beat him. And you remember Neuer, of course.
Very well, very well. I was working for Charlie Kenny when he was standing and studded at an old Shadyside farm.
Yeah. Shadyside is now...
It's Hunter Jumper Farm, I think. Now,
did they sell that section?
Well, I think they did.
It was Cobra Farm
on the corner of Ironworks and Newtown Pike.
Yeah, right across from the Mount Horb Church.
Yeah, right across the street. Yeah, I used to work in that barn right across the street there. Yeah, it's still the barn's still there. Matter of fact, the same barn.
I think that big brick building there, then in the corner.
On the corner, it's still there.
It was for hemp, wasn't it?
I don't know, but it was.
I believe that's what it was for.
Probably was.
They used to store hemp in that thing.
It probably was.
I wonder what to do with it. Just sitting there empty.
Just sits there. just sits there and it's hanging on.
But of course, they when Newell was buried out in California, and they were developing that place, and they brought his bones back to old friends over here.
I've read that. I saw they did.
Buried him again. They got a marker just as you pull in old friends on the left there.
They did, like, well, they, not the same kind of horse, but they, the Dust Commander, they moved him from where he was and took him to Churchill, buried him last year down at Churchill.
Oh,
down,
that's
in,
pretty.
There's down there, and there's about four or five horses there at the museum. It's pretty, we had a nice affair, and it was very nice.
Oh, did you go down to that?
I went there and spoke to a little bit.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Didn't tell any lies, did you?
I didn't have any to tell.
Oh, I know better than that.
You know, I've got a little, I have a little history on Churchill. It's sort of interesting. Did you know the first airplane that flew in the state of Kentucky flew out of the infield Churchill Downs?
Is that
right? 1910.
1910.
I don't wish you had a picture of it.
They wouldn't let them do that now, would they?
Before that, they used to have a, where have I got? 10, 19, 10.
Well,
there's a picture of it.
I'll swear. Look at that thing, would you? 1910.
1910.
Wow.
June 1910.
Huh.
Looked like it had bicycle wheels on the. It was some contraption there. 1910. That was a long time ago. And you probably knew that they used to have a steeplechase course in the center field at Churchill.
No, I didn't know that.
There's a picture of that.
Well, there it is.
Early 1900s, they raised steeplechase.
Yeah.
Of course, everything.
That was a
big.
Early 1900s.
Early 1900s.
You know, I thought those twin spires had been there all from the origin, but originally, but they were put in like the 1890s, yeah. late 1890s, right. They put in there.
And it was rebuilt, what, in 39 or something like that, or something.
Yeah.
Some added when they did the other part. They had some fairs, or the small one, then they redid it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what year it was, maybe 39, but I don't know if that's right or not.
Yeah, and they didn't do, I think it was like 1923, 24 when they first started giving the roses away.
Is that right? Right. And in 1920 when they first started, all of them carrying 126 pounds.
Is that right?
1920.
Except for the Phillies.
I said Phillies 5 pounds off.
I swear.
21, yeah, there's 1920.
Yeah.
I was just looking through that, and I saw that.
Well, we were awful young then.
Yeah. I have to get an old history book to read that one. But there's a lot of stuff that's happened at Churchill and Wood.
I realize that. Let's look at some of these old charts just for the heck of it. And before we get around to picking our Derby horses, I want to ask you who you're picking this time. Let's see. Well, of course, Jet Pilot, I didn't rattle that off to you. That's 1947. I didn't rattle that off to you right away. That's the first one I saw. Did you know that he, the year before, 1946, when Assault won it, Main Chance had a three-horse entry in there of Knockdown, Lord Boswell, and Perfect Barham, and they were stabled in Chicago. And they sent those three horses down to the Derby. And they sent 2 2-year-olds down with them. And one of the 2-year-olds was Jet Pilot.
Is that right?
That's And the Derby horses didn't do too good. Lord Boswell ran fourth, Knockdown was fifth, and Lawrence Boswell ran ninth. That was in 1947. Yeah. That's where they finished. I'm pretty. Is that right? The chart will tell you.
Well, yeah, I think you're about right on.
3-horse entry.
Yeah.
But the winner of the first race on Derby Day was Jet Pilot. He broke his maiden that day at Churchill.
And it was the first race?
That was his first start.
Oh, that's his first race.
Yeah.
They used to run the Derby for either first or second race at one time. Instead of real late, used to run early.
No, Jet Pilot's race was the first race that day.
I know, but they used to run
a little bit
earlier races.
Yeah.
They used to. They used to. Yeah.
And while he was here, they had a barn fire in the Main Chance barn at up at Arlington Park, and she lost almost all of her 2-year-olds. And so next year he came back, of course, and it was a muddy track that day. He was a Blenheim. It was by Blenheim the second that Mr. A.B. Hancock Sr. had bred. And he led all the way that day in the mud, and they were there gearing on him. And
won by head.
He won by
led
head.
All the way, won by head.
Yeah, and it was a
post position 13.
Yeah, went right to the front. And I tell you what, he was some kind of tired horse that last 16th of a mile, and Guerin didn't touch him. He just was waving the whip. Just it looked like he was carrying him. And Phalanx come up on the outside, run second, and of course he went on to win to Belmont. And then Faultless was down on the rail, and I think it was three heads.
Yeah, he beat him ahead. Phalanx beat Faultless ahead, and then Faultless beat On Trust a length.
Yeah, the horse that ran fourth just got beat, but
two heads and a length.
Yeah, he was pretty good. Yeah, I think Cosmic Bomb was fifth, wasn't he?
Yes.
Star
Award, and then Bulletproof, and Sickle, and W.L. Sickle, and Stepfather, and Liberty Road.
Stepfather had come from California. He was a bull peer.
And on down, then we had Risk Taker. Risk-A-Later.
Risk-A-Later.
And then Double J was down there. Double J was finished 12th. He turned out to be a pretty darn good stud horse.
Oh, absolutely. Of all those horses in that Derby,
he was probably the best.
He was, absolutely. Yeah. Although Spy Song, the year before, was another Double J, but he wasn't in that race. He was in before he'd run second to Assault. But out of that bunch, Star Reward was Sterile. He was a reaping reward out of a mare named Far Star.
Oh, that was a Dixiana horse.
That's the reason I know that real well.
Right, yeah.
Gorgeous horse. But he fired blanks at stud, so they put him to stud out there. But he didn't make it. But of all those, that the Jet Pilot was just a so-so sire. Phalanx, of course, that was Mr. Whitney's horse, stood over here. He wasn't much of a sire either. He went on to win the Belmont, though, that year. Faultless didn't do any. He was another one of those sons of Bull Lee that didn't make it.
Another Calumet horse, right?
Yeah. I don't know what it was. But, he never had a...
And Doug Dotson rode that horse. I remember Doug really well.
Doug Dotson. he was the main rider for Calumet at that time.
Was he really? Yeah.
Yeah, he rode most everything. Of course, I think Al Carroll was on Citation a little bit later on, a couple of years later. But... Well, there's the next year. Yeah, R. Carroll. Here's that chart right here. And Pearson had ridden Coal Town. My Request ran third, and that was in the 48 Derby.
It was small field, six horses.
Well, the Citation.
Read them all out.
Everybody was scared to death of that entry. My God. I told you I saw Coal Town win the...
Bluegrass.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was some kind of... He said all those...
Jones.
Yeah.
In the mud. They carried him across the track.
Yeah, a picture of Ben Jones there that day. And was it, yeah.
Yeah, this is when the Citation was muddy, and one of the starters carried him, got on his back and carried him across the muddy track.
Now, he's a big man, too.
Yeah, and he was a big man.
I met him once, but I met Jimmy.
I know Jimmy very well. I used to live next to Jimmy up in Monmouth, and we used to go to dinner with him a lot, and he was nice, heck of a nice guy.
Yeah. I just met him. He came to look at a two-year-old that I had that he was buying for the people at Old Mama Park at that time.
The Islands? Uh-huh. The Jimmy Island was a training.
Yeah. He came to look at him at... He didn't care for him because he was calf-kneed. I didn't care for him either.
I remember one time that Jimmy Island and Jimmy Jones, we flew someplace to look at, and I flew with him to look at some horses back when I was at Monmouth Park.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I raced up here for quite a while during the 70s.
You've raced everywhere.
About 40 different racetracks.
It's my God.
That's a lot.
Big and little, huh?
Big and little. I'm Miles Park and that's where I won my first race, was Miles Park.
A lot of people listening don't even know where Miles Park was.
West part of Louisville out there, by the railroad track.
Yeah.
And it's round and around. You had to go around three or four times to run three quarters. I mean, it was a small track. It was a little track. It was very small.
And it expired back in the early 70s.
In the 70s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me take a break here. Last Saturday in Chicago, the $100,000 Pretty Jenny Stakes was won by Pistol Drawn, a 3-0 flip in the second crop of First Defense. Brynn, known by Azio Stable, pistols drawn, served notice last November. She was a filly with a bright future, broke her maiden by 17 lengths. Fourth in stakes the next time out, she went into the 6 furlong Pretty Jenny off a 7 length win, going a mile and 70 yards. And she won the Pretty Jenny at 6 furlongs, won that by 6 lengths. Another 3-year-old from First Defense at Second Crop, Beach Hut, placed in Santa Anita, San Pedro this year. Other promising runners to keep an eye on by him are Ms. Sylvia A., a winner of a top allowance race at Aqueduct on April 18th. She won that one by 9. Ab Seal broke his maiden by nearly 3 lengths over in England on April 21. So watch for him. Then, of course, the sky's the limit for close hatches. Winner already this year, the grade 1 Apple Blossom and the grade 2 Azari. And the quality of mares that First Defense covered the last couple of years, 117 just last year, unbelievable quality, unbelievable. First Defense, sire of the future. 15,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, fillies raised on Macaulay products finished 1, 2, 3 in the Kentucky Oaks yesterday. 1, 2, 3. Untappable, bred and raised by Winchell Thoroughbreds. My Miss Sophia, bred and raised by John Gunther. Unbridled Forever, bred by Charles Fipke and raised at Darby Dan. Congratulations to all. And good luck at the Kentucky Derby, especially to the 7 scheduled to go postward that were raised on Macaulay Brothers products. They are Vickers in Trouble, bred and raised Spendthrift Farm. Harry's Holiday, bred by Brereton C. Jones and Ned Jones, raised at Airdrie Stud. Danzig, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm, raised at Brandywine. Samrot, raised at Darby Dan for our breeder My Metaview. Chitou, bred by Tom Evans, Macon Wool Mill Equines and Marjack, and raised at Trackside Farm. Metal Count, raised by Stone Street Thoroughbreds Holdings and raised over at Stone Street Farm. Tapitour, raised by Winchell Thoroughbreds. Congratulations also to Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. Breeders of It's My Lucky Day, winner last Saturday of the Best of the Rest Stakes at Gulfstream Park. Record speaks for itself. For more on the Macaulay Brothers products, call Mike Warren or David Longmire, 859-873-3333. See the website, MacaulayBros.com. Stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Well, who do you like in the Derby today?
I was have to, what I've seen. You never know about the track. Who likes the track at Churchill? Churchill could be a funny track, but that horse has been very impressive in the last few races in California. I mean, that California Chrome, he just runs away from those horses.
Yeah,
I don't know what the speed will happen today. How much there's so many horses in there? There's several horses in there with speed, but he just seems.
He'll rate, don't you? Right. One race, he didn't take the lead right away. Right.
And if he doesn't get jammed up somewhere, I think.
Well, he's got the 5-0. That's not that bad.
I think it's an excellent post.
There's some speed around him, but.
That's an excellent post, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think
I think he'll get himself in good position, and he should run. If he handles the track, I think it'll be awfully hard to beat.
That's a tough track. Either horses like it or they don't.
Right, right.
There's much you can do about it either. We were talking earlier about the bad races at Holy Bull and Skip Away turned in.
Right, right, right.
And they just hated that, you know.
Yeah. If they don't like it, they won't run over it. They just don't. I mean, they won't run like they normally do over another track.
Can't make them like it, can
you? Nope. It's sort of a cuppy, sandy. It's sort of clay like base, sort of. I mean, it's got a lot of clay in it, but it's sort of cuppy. It's, I've seen it in the past. I haven't run much there lately, but it was sort of cupping out type of track.
Yeah.
And when I ran in the Derby, I mean, we called it sort of a spotty track that day. I put a little inserts on my horse. I put head so he could get a hold of that track a little better. He placed him about an inch behind the front of the shoe, or the back of the shoe, and where it comes around about an inch away, and I had on both of on the front shoes.
Yeah,
it makes it really get a hold really well.
I'm like you. I kind of like nobody else that came in here today picked him, but you and I did, so we'll probably knock him in the head.
Yeah, I don't pick very many winners, so who knows? But that's who I like.
You have any Derby stand out in your mind? Other than the one that you won,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, that one stands up. But you know, second chair was very impressive, impressive derby.
Do you remember when he came down here? You know, he just got beaten in Wood.
Yeah, finished third in Wood. I had a horse in the derby that year, and he was 7-1. My horse was set. Warbucks was 7-1. Didn't run an inch.
Is that right? That didn't like the track.
But yeah, he did. He came back and won the Clark the next year. He won the Clark, and he won a lot of races. That's a heart attack rode him. This was the last derby that he rode in, matter of fact. But he trained well down there. I don't know why he didn't run well. I have no idea why he didn't run well.
So many variables, you know. You've never seen a crowd like that before. You can bet on that.
Yeah, I don't think it's the crowd bothering him a lot, because he'd run down at Hot Springs, and there are a lot of people down there. I mean, there's more people coming down Hot Springs, the races, than there is in the town.
Yeah, how big a field was it that day? 13.
13?
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, he didn't run a lick, did he?
No, he didn't run a lick.
Well, Secretary sure did.
Yeah, he was very impressive the way he did run. He was very impressive.
Yeah, there were all those rumors flying about, you know, that he was
being off for this or that.
Oh, yeah. He was,
his knees or this or that.
Yeah, and that was never it, you know. But he said all those, you know, I probably shouldn't say this, but we were talking about Coal Town earlier, and although he was a great racehorse, and he'd set all those track and world records. In fact, Joe Palmer writing about him said he thought he was the fastest horse since Man of War for sheer speed. But he said that there was some question about his courage, because he never won a close race, and he never lost a close race. Either went off by himself, or he got beat pretty good.
If you hook him, you'd beat him then.
Yeah. And, you know, I was looking at trying to figure out how come Jerkins could beat Secretary twice with two different horses, you know.
What, Prove Out and Onion?
Yeah. And it's blasphemous to say this, but, you know, his PPs look a whole lot like Colt Towns. Mm-hmm. You know? So I just wondered about that, you know.
But sometimes they get out in front and they get a friend, they get a big heart.
Yeah.
And they just keep running. Sometimes they do.
God,
they
he had, you know, more those three races, you know. Actually, I thought the Preakness that he won was.
Oh, the way he just flew around there with the lead. Just
coming out of that first turn.
Flew around that.
That was unbelievable.
Oh, just ran by those horses like they were tied.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
What a burst of speed he showed around there that first turn. It kind of was out and circled, went around, went right to the top.
Yeah. So you wondered how he ever got beat, you know.
Yeah, of course, he got beat the first time he ran, of course.
Oh, well, that was.
But that's normal. Yeah. But how he got beat, how Onion and those horses beat him, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I know when they put his statue up in New York, you know, Mr. Alfred Gwynne Vanderbilt, who owned Native Dancer, who got beat once.
One time.
And, you know, he took a little walk around and looked at me, walked around, and he said, well, says, I see they left enough room on the statue here where they can put down the names of all those horses that beat him.
I guess four would be.
Well, let's see. Well, he ran fourth his first start. That's three. He ran third in Wood.
Well, that's the last.
That's five. That's and then Onion and Prove Out, six, seven horses beat him.
Really? That many beat him?
Well, he was fourth first time out right, there. So there was three horses in front of him.
Oh, you're talking about the horses that beat him. He was only beaten four times, but there were several horses in front of him. I see what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. That's seven horses, different horses.
And his stablemate beat him in the Wood.
Yeah, Angle Light. Yeah.
And those people, I think after
Sham
that.
Sham was second.
Yeah, Sham. And he had changed trainers for the Derby. You couldn't run against them. So I think Carter Thornton trained him, went down as trainer for that horse in the Derby.
Carter did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Do you know who ended up when stood Angle Light down at Running Meat Farm for Catesby Clay?
Down at Catesby Clay's?
Yeah.
Is that right? I'll be done.
I don't know how you, how do you remember all these damn things?
Oh, I don't know, because I'm reading about it all the time. I know some of the people and remember, and I just love the, I love history anyway, and I like history about horses. Now, of course, I'm a Man of War fan. Man of War's always been my very, very favorite.
Oh, me too.
I mean, I just thought he didn't have the tracks that he was running over plowed fields like they run over today. I mean, those tracks, he would have these kind of tracks. No telling what he would
have done. What he would have done. And you know, it was only, they only let him run once.
Yeah. It had legs on him like, just like iron.
Did you ever see him?
One time? I saw him one time. I was 9 years old. I saw him.
Yeah.
That's the year he died. That's the only time I ever saw him.
In 1947.
1947, out there, went out there and saw him.
Yeah. I saw him lots of times. My dad put the first halter on him when he was a weanling.
I know.
When
you, I remember you saying that.
Yeah. And we used to go over every, you know, I'd ride my bike over sometimes to see him, and then Dad would drive. Went to, that's the first funeral I ever went to in my life.
Oh, that funeral?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big crowd.
I mean, that recording, I hear that recording every
day. I've got it.
You got, that's where I've heard it.
Yeah.
Did you have it on your tape or something, or you just?
No, it came on a little card.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, well, it was a tape. Yeah, it was a tape. Yeah. I think I'll play it. He died on November the 1st of, 1947. I think I'll play that.
That's a good idea. That's great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. That'd be interesting.
Everybody is, that spoke that day is gone except Dr. Bill McGee, and he's still alive.
Yeah. I saw him not too long ago. He used to live right across the street.
Is that right?
He lived right in that lane, the house on the right. That lane right down
from
there.
From here in the training center.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's where he used to live for many, many years. He had two sons. And they right there. I knew them. Knew the boys. I still do. You know, what's the purse today of the purse today? What is the size of the purse today?
It's $1 million, isn't it?
You know what the first one?
1,200, wasn't it?
The first one was 1,000.
Was it 1,000? I thought it was 1,200.
First one was $1,000.
Well, hell, that's almost what it's worth. That was real money back then, though.
$1,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
$1,000.
I never looked at the purse today. I guess maybe it might be $2 million now. Well, how much is a purse in there? Look in there, chart in there. Well, I got to do this. I forgot to do my commercial here. The most popular sire in the world today, on the tracks and in the sales arena, Galileo. Galileo has had 30 champions, and one of those champions is Cape Blanco, the best son of Galileo at stud in North America. Cape Blanco was an undefeated multiple group stakes winner at 2. He was a champion and classic winner at 3. And 3 starts at 4, all 3 in the USA. He won 3 grade 1 stakes and the Eclipse Award. Undefeated at 2, a champion at 3, a champion at 4, by one of the all-time great sires in history of racing. Out of a broodmare of the year, Cape Blanco has all the credentials to become a top sire. His first foals are yearlings. He stands for 15,000 due. When the foal stands in nurses, and he stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, where you find proven sires of graded stakes winners standing for fees starting at $7,500, all due when the foal stands in nurses. Just call the farm, 859-873-7088, and see the website at coolmore.com. I went right by and just started talking the other day. A minute, and now I've got to catch up on these others, don't I? Right at it. All right. Let's see. Well, let me go ahead and do these, and then we can coast. What am I doing here? Oh, okay. Yeah. Jacizzle trains out here. You know Jacizzle. That trains out here. Anyway, he's from the first crop of Jazzle. Shipped in to Mountaineer last Sunday. Blew away his field in a feature race. It was an allowance race going 5.5 furlongs on the dirt. Now, DeSizzle's been knocking on the door in stakes. He's finished second in 3 of them, beating the nose in the Grade 3 Aristides, $100,000 stakes down at Churchill Downs, track where he had won earlier, going 5 furlongs on the grass, so he could run on anything. And he's earned a tidy $284,829 and still going. Other runners from the first crop by Jazzle, Najjar, winner last year, Keenan Sycamore Stakes, and placed in the Grade 3 Louisville Handicap. The American St. Ledger and the Arlington Classic earned over $237,000 now. Farhan, winner of the 2014 running of the Stymie Handicap, and last year the Lord of the Night Stakes, both those in New York. Comdiante, a multiple group stakes winner down in South America, plus 2 stakes winners in Europe. Now, Jazzle, winner of the Classic Belmont Stakes, was going to go to South America, but instead they kept him here in Kentucky, stands at Shadwell Farm. Give stallion manager Kent Barnes a call. Ask him about possible breeding incentives to Jazzle. And there's a phone number out there, 859-224-4585, and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then BristNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BristNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BristNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why new generation is using APR Online.
Well, a two-year-old colt of Bellamy Road sold for $340,000 at the OBS April sale last week. I guess bidders had seen Sister Love, a daughter of Bellamy Road, win the grade $300,000 Hilliard Lion Stakes at Keeneland. The Hilliard Lion Ashland Stakes against Keeneland a few days ago. Sisterly Love is a multiple graded stakes winner of over $427,000. Earned a servant award as champion Oldemare in Canada last year, and there have been many other opportunities for horsemen to see runners by Bellamy Road. He sired 20 stakes horses, 16 stakes winners, 6 graded stakes winners, including a grade 1 winner and near millionaire in his first 3 crops. Perhaps they sent a mare to Bellamy Road because he covered some 436 mares in his last 3 seasons at stud, and his current crop of 2-year-olds are members of his biggest and best crop to date. A proven sire of major stakes winners with an even brighter future. Bellamy Road, 17,500, doing a full stands and nurses, stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Kyle Wilson, or Sean Toggle, 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. Hey, Don, I've got to do this for the KTA. You watch the Oaks yesterday?
I was mowing grass.
I asked you earlier, didn't you?
I was mowing grass.
Well, you missed it. Rosie rode a hell of a race. All she had to do was hang on.
Yeah, I saw the replay.
Okay, well, that was a Kentucky bred, Untappable, winning the Kentucky Oaks yesterday, bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. Let's see, also the La Troyne grade one out there, On Fire Baby, bred in Kentucky by Anita Ebert Cawley. The Twin Spires, a turf sprint, grade 3 yesterday. Marchman won that. He was bred by Lynn and Kathy Jones. The Elusive Quality Stakes yesterday, Integrity, was bred by Peter Blum. The Alashiba, grade 2 yesterday. What did I do here? Hand you too many. Moonshine Mullen won that one, bred by Dr. Russ Buran and Dick Johnson. The Edgewood Stakes up at Churchill yesterday, a little bit sassy. That's a More Than Ruddy, because the More Than Ruddy stands over at Windstar Farm. This one bred by William D. Gold. Last week, the Grade 3 Derby trial winner was Embellishing Bob, the disqualified Bay Yearn. He was bred by Martin Cherry, Embellishing Bob. 2-3 noses on the wire there. The Texas Mile, Grade 3, down at Lone Star. Grand Contender won that, bred by Epona Thoroughbreds. Wasn't a whole lot last weekend. As a matter of fact, the Best of the Rest Stakes down at Gulfstream Park, It's My Lucky Day. It was bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. The George Royal Stakes at Hastings went to title contender. That's a pulpit bred by Town and Country Farm. Let's see what else we have here. Ken and Sarah Ramsey bred Lead 'em in Ken. shipped in to Fonner Park and won the $75,000 Gus Fonner Stakes. Boy, win by 9. Shame on you, Ken, taking advantage of those people down there like that. That's it. shipped in, got the money, went home. The George Royal Stakes at Hastings out in California went to title contender. That's another pulpit. This is bred by Town and Country Farms. I just gave you that, didn't I? And one more, the Goldfinch Stakes at Prairie Meadows. Letter Dance, bred by Levin Bloodstock. So that's those winners. The Awesome Patriot has an awesome pedigree. He's by the elite sire Awesome Again, out of Tis Amazing, a full sister to Tis Now. Sire of the 2014 winner of the $500,000 Illinois Derby and of 11 grade 1 stakes winners, a champion 2-year-old, 2 classic winners, 5 millionaires. Awesome Patriot is a full brother to the 2013 Preakness winner Oxbow. Not only that, the Fleet Grade 1 winner painter is by Awesome again. I have a full sister to Oxbow, an awesome patriot. Oxbow is standing his first season for $200,000, about $20,000, excuse me, by a full painter stands for $25,000. Awesome patriot is also standing his first season, and he is standing for a fee of just $3,500. Doing a full stands of nurses, and he's eligible for Spencer's popular Share the Upside program. To earn a lifetime breeding right, all you have to do is sign a $100 one-time deposit. Sign stands and nurses contracts for 2014, 2015. Breed your mare or mares each year. Have a live foal each year. Pay the stud fee, $3,500, and you own a lifetime breeding right. He's a superb individual. He was a $350,000 sales yearling. Really, got a great pedigree. He was a stakes winner, placed in graded stakes. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, and Mark Tuthacker. And see the website at SpencerFarm.com. All righty. Who was the first Triple Crown winner win the Derby? Do you remember that?
The first one to win it, yeah.
All right.
Sir Barton, you mean?
Yeah. 1919. That's even before my time.
Of course, Man of War didn't run in it. He didn't run in the race.
No, he opened up with a Preakness.
Yeah, didn't run in.
Yeah. In fact, Riddle didn't run a horse in the Derby until War Admiral.
Is that he didn't? They won. I think two. He had two Derby winners. Man of War did, I think. Right, two Derby winners. Is that right?
Yeah, Clyde Van Dusen was the other one.
Yeah.
Gilding, named after the trainer Clyde Van Dusen. Clyde Van Dusen. He won it in 1929.
You know, I was looking just. The Calumet won the next race the next year, 1949. They won with Ponder, and I just look at some of the horses in that race. Old Kentucky Colonel was in there, and John's Joy. They were, I worked at Patchwood Farm when I was in college, and the Kentucky Colonel was still standing.
He was a balladeer.
Yeah.
He was the sire of all those white things that Herman Goodpasture raised out there.
Yeah. He was the sire of a lot of those. And then John's Joy was in that same year, 1940. He turned out to be a pretty interesting horse. He bred a lot of nice horses.
Great two-year-old sire. They talked to two-year-old sire several times.
Yeah.
Bulldog, wasn't he?
A bulldog.
Yeah.
And Olympia was in that same one, belonged to Fred Hooper.
Orca, was he a fast horse?
Yeah, he belonged to Fred Hooper.
He had a lot of gas.
He was in front. He was in front, and then he ended up sixth.
He didn't want much.
Or Carroll rode him.
He didn't want much more than a mile.
Yeah, that's where he was in front for the first mile.
They matched him with a quarter horse mare down in a $50,000 side bet. Hooper did down in Florida, going a quarter mile. And he beat her out of the gate and beat her ahead.
My goodness, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
He had
a lot of speed.
He was by Heliopolis.
Yeah, a lot of speed.
Yeah.
Wasn't Heliopolis, but then was he from over at Walmack Farm, Heliopolis? Or is that right, Heliopolis? Did he race for Mrs. R.W. McElvain from Walmack Farm?
He was an imported horse.
Was he?
Yeah. Now.
Oh, they might have had a horse by Heliopolis that raced in
Olympia. Stood at the old Dan Ada farm. He raced for Dan and Ada Rice. No, he raced for, he raced for Hooper.
He raced for Fred Hooper, yeah.
Yeah, but he stood over at Dan Ada. Do you remember Pup Endicott, who managed the farm over there?
I remember the name. I didn't know him, though. I do remember.
I knew him real well. He died real young.
Yeah, I remember hearing about him.
Yeah, well, the second Triple Crown winner, I guess, was Gallant Fox. In 1930, and Earl Sandy had gone down, a great jockey, gone down in a race and had been hurt real bad in 1946. And the people, Bel Air, who owned Gallant Fox, had talked him to come out of retirement. Nobody thought, they didn't think he'd ever come back, came out of retirement to ride him. And, of course, he won on that horse and went on to win the Triple Crown.
Bel Air still, yeah.
Yeah, Damon Runyon, who was a great writer at the time, was in the press box at the time, and he was watching the Derby. And as soon as it was over, he had this old typewriter, and he typed this out and says, "Say, have you turned the pages back to the past once more? Back to the racing ages and the Derby out of the yore? Say, don't tell me I'm Daffy. Ain't that the same old grin? Why, it's that handy guy named Sandy booting a winner in.
That's pretty neat, yeah. That was Sonny Jim trained that horse, too.
Fitzsimmons. Damon Runyon.
Damon Runyon.
All righty. I think I'll read this one more time. This was a call reunion. How much time have I got? 5 minutes or something like that? 5 minutes. I got a little poem I want to read here, Don. Written by Joe Estes and was published in 1929. We were just talking about 1929 when Clyde Van Dusen won the Derby. And anyway, this was came out in a little magazine called The Daily Running Horse. And Joe Estes wrote it. And it's about the Derby. I got a cough drop in my mouth. I hope I don't need it. Trooping again to the downs today, to the city at the falls. And the north comes, and the east comes, and the west when the Derby calls. And the old south, and the new south, and the fair south meeting. The glad hand, and the true smile, and the wide arm greeting. A gay throng, and a glad throng, from many lands they hail. But the downs has made them one today, at the end of the Derby trail. And the rich are there, and the much too poor, all the wide earth breeding. And the Derby field parading by with a proud horse leading. And the many-colored jackets fill in the warm south breeze. The green and the wine dark purple and the lavender sash and cerise. But the track is wide and side by side with that proud crew striding is a ghostly throng that floats along with a little red horse guiding. Trooping again to the downs today out of old history stalls. Trooping out of the living past, the here when the Derby calls. Way, what is it you say? Don't you see them? Is it just my dreaming? Those restive steeds with the bright flanks and the great eyes gleaming. Trooping back to the downs today, the phantom field is there. Back to the downs, their ghosts have come to greet the one to wear the Derby wreath when the day is done and give him fellow greeting, for none wear that but the strong of limb, them with a stout heart beating. That's Joe Estes. Joe was a longtime editor of the Blood Horse Magazine. Wonderful man. Wonderful man. Knew him very well.
Yeah, I knew him too. I remember him.
Got 3 minutes left? All right. Well, we've already picked up both Derby and Don here. Don Combs and I both picked the same darn horse. That's sure to kill him.
I don't know if we'd be able to carry that much weight or not.
Well, it's just 126 pounds plus us, Don. I haven't picked a winner. Well, you know, I did. I did pick Orb last year.
I picked Orb last year.
Yeah. But prior to that.
I pulled for him and picked him. I mean, I was wanting him to win, and he did.
Yeah. You wanted to win for Shug?
Yes, Shug.
Mm. Shug, a friend of yours?
Shug's a good friend of mine.
Well, good. He's a Lexingtonian.
Yep, he sure is. Yep.
Anyway, he's trying to think what the Derby that I picked before this. I guess I got a winner. I got to go back all the way to Barbaro, I think. I picked him too.
I can't remember anyone with anybody that I picked right off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, I have to give. For some reason, the poor people down in Paris that with the Rotary Club had me come in every year and give my Derby selections, and so I gave them Orb last year. And when they called to invite me back to entice me back to do it again, I said, "Wait a minute!" It says, "I'm just good for about one every 10 years. Call me back in about 2023, will you?"
I don't know. This horse may run well today. We'll see. If he likes the track, he'd be right here.
Just cold, hard handicapping. He looks like the winner to me. Don't forget now, over to Thoroughbred Center today, you can go over there and bet on the Kentucky Derby. And if you want to go over there and have access to the food that they're giving away over there, well, they're not giving away. It's a $45 ticket, but you get a buffet from 12 until 3. And food is always good over there. They give you a free mint julep, and stop at one now because those things are pretty potent. There's a commemorative program, preferred seating, VIP access to a mutual court clerk. You know, you just you don't you can skip the lines. Of course, the parking is over there free now. Of course, you can go in there and just walk in to the back over there, and they've got projection screens and TVs and so forth, and you'd beat the crowd. You know, the crowd had it. Keeneland just about as bad as the Derby on Derby Day anymore.
They're expecting, what, 20,000?
20,000 out there. Well, there won't be that many over here, and it's a great place to watch it. It's right at the main office over here at the Thoroughbred Center. Oh, so
that purse today is $2
million. $2 million. Okay. I never look at that. I never, you
know. Well, 25,000 just to enter. Another 25,000 to start.
Oh, wow.
50,000 before you ever get in the door.
Well, I think it's they're playing my getaway song there, so we're going to wrap it up, and thanks for listening.